Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
God, it's just, if you haven't yet taken the time to begin to abide, we're about to hear from Pat what the Lord is sharing with him in his abiding time. But, you know, every single day, we're sharing with you from the overflow of what God's sharing with us. Mm-hmm. We spend time with the Lord. And if you don't have a plan, we have a simple plan for you. A simple plan that even young men and young women, girls and boys, they're hearing from God. Even Samuel was taught to hear from God by Eli, who didn't care about hearing from God. But once he heard from the Lord, as he repeated what God said, not one word that he said, and this wasn't something in his own heart. Obviously, God was revealing himself to Samuel. Not one of them fell to the ground. Mm. And I don't want to share right now on the air what Jonathan, you know, God spoke to him in the context of that. But let me tell you this. You know, get prepared. Get prepared. If you haven't yet heard Prudent Preparation, you need to hear it. You need to go to VFNTV.com. You need to listen to it and go into the VFN TV store and begin to look around for all the things available, how you can prepare for the days ahead, because it's going to be a great harvest. But look at the church in Syria. This is what happened in Syria. They first said, let's just kind of blend in. Let's kind of be neutral. And they realized you can't be neutral. And the truth is, we can't be neutral.
You got to pick a side.
You got to pick a side. And you got to pick Jesus' side if you want eternal life and be in a family. And so the conflict, how horrific it is revealing the true church. And even though Jesus was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. Understand that if we're crying out for revival and a third great awakening, we're seeing it. God's showing this to us. But with it comes persecution in the context of that. You need to hear from God. And so we have a simple plan available for you. A simple plan available for you right now. I mean, all you need is a crayon, if you think about it. A video, just having a little kitchen talk with you how to be able to do it and kind of sharing with you what God says. Go to iabide.org, iabide.org, and get your request your simple plan today. You fill out the information that comes to you right away, immediately to you, and also into your email. Pat, what's God sharing with you?
Well, I was just sharing with the guys this morning, reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, where, if you remember, Paul was real upset, that he had sent this letter to the Corinthians. You know, he says he didn't really enjoy it. You know, it was a painful thing to do, but he knew if he didn't, you know, there wouldn't be any repentance.
Right.
So he was glad he did it, because what he says was, and I'll just read part of it.
Isn't that beautiful, though, the tension between, I really hate to do it. It hurts me more than it hurts you.
Yeah.
And it's true.
Yeah.
But you got to do that.
It's hard. It's a tough thing to do. But if you love the person, who God's entrusted you with, you're going to bring that correction. You're going to shine that light.
It reminds me of a teacher, by the way, I won't say a name, but she's a real good teacher, and she had a class that she's been able just to love on them and just be the kindness aspect of it. But all of a sudden they started getting really rowdy and all that. Mm. So she had to come down and she had to be stern with them. And she's so convicted because she's a believer. She just didn't want to have to come down on them. But I was talking to her and saying, listen, if you really love them, you have to understand the kindness and the sternness of that and helped her get through that time, because you want it all. But the truth is, you got to do these things sometimes, because it just gets out there. And the next day, her class was like peachy. And it came in there.
Oh, wow.
They're all doing their work and stuff like that. It was just beautiful. And because she loved them, she got firm with them.
Right.
And they listen. They're going to have a future if they continue to listen to that, because she's teaching them the things they need to know to be able to have a future.
Yeah, not just a future. You save someone's life. I mean,
yes.
Would it be stern to yell at someone who's about to get hit by a car?
Hello.
That wouldn't be stern. You'd be saving their life. Yeah. Stop! Get out the way!
But it is hard. I mean, you walk away from that. I don't know what you're talking about. I just feel like dirt after doing something like that. Because
I know
who are we?
I gotta say this, but here it comes.
Yeah.
In humility, because we're all dirt without God,
Yeah, you are.
So who am I?
I know.
So some have more than others.
Just saying.
But Paul said, he goes, I know it was painful to you for a little while, but now I'm glad I sent it, because...
the internet, where the letter wouldn't be up there forever, Can y'all put that letter away?
I know.
Right, exactly. And he says, not because it hurt you, but because of the pain, it caused you to repent and change your ways. And that's the result. I mean, that's what we want. And it was the kind of sorrow God wants in his people to have. So you are not harmed by it in any way. For the kind of sorrow God wants you to experience leads us away from sin and result in salvation. And then he says, there's no regret for that kind of sorrow.
So it brought them to a place of repentance, right, so they could be saved.
Exactly.
Which means if they wouldn't have listened to that rebuke, they wouldn't have been saved.
Exactly. Which,
and he wrote the letter to the church.
Exactly. It was the church he's talking to.
It's the church he's talking to.
Right. So this is in the world. This is the church.
Yeah.
And then he says, but worldly sorrow, which lacks repentance, results in spiritual death.
That sounds like Francis Chan when he was talking about, we hear it, and we celebrate it. We go, that really hurt. I really felt that. I was teared up and stuff, but I walk away unchanged. And that's worldly sorrow.
Right, exactly.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, like we were saying earlier, it's very difficult a lot of times when there's something you need to share with this person, or even your kids. I mean, it's not something you enjoy doing, but if you love them and you want them to make it,
sure,
you got to bring it. You know what I'm saying? You got to shine that light in those dark areas.
And we have blind spots. It's worthwhile to have relationships with those that are even willing to want to speak in your life.
Right. Exactly.
That's why I say you have 10,000 teachers, but very few fathers.
All right.
And a father is someone who loves you enough to say, if you leave that light switch on one more time, it loves you enough to say, you don't need to be going out with that boy.
That's right.
Loves you enough to say, that you need to get out of bed and get a job, or you need to go to school. You need to listen to your mama. Mm-hmm. You need to follow God. You need to get in the Word of God. Whether you do it or not, that's a father that's loving on you. And it's easier to just kind of teach. And there's so many teachers today, they really don't care whether you do what they're going to say or not. That's this is the difference. A teacher, I mean, you have people that you can teach anything. Then you have anointed teachers that break the yoke off of the person. Not only do you know it, but all of a sudden you're free from it. But then a father, somebody who has God's put in your life as a father, it could be your natural father or it could be a spiritual father, that when they speak to you, their words just kind of just stay with you. And they encourage you, just simple words, and they challenge you like Paul was doing. He says, for I'm your father in Christ Jesus. But that's just love. Somebody who speaks truth to you, they're wanting what's best for you. They understand that your success is their victory.
Yeah.
Their greatest... Sort of like David was telling us, Captain Alexander was telling us last night, just to get the text from his son from college saying Dad, he's studying engineering and all, and he's developed, I knew about what his app was, I'll tell you, but they designed their own app that they're being able to market now and give the rights away to. But the fact that I'm seeking God every night and asking God to lead me, and that's just beautiful for a father to hear his son saying, that I'm seeking God every night and asking him to be able to lead me. And God responds.
Absolutely.
God responds to that question.
Exactly. So, I mean, me as a believer, that I should welcome, somebody pointing something out of my life because, I don't want to offend. I don't want to hurt God. I don't want to hurt my brother or anybody.
Yeah.
But in humility, we're open to it.
Well, that's it.
But if you're prideful, you're not going to, you're going to have the worldly type of sorrow. You may be repentant for a moment, or you may be not repentant, but sorry for what you did. Yeah. But then there's no change.
Yeah.
There's no repentance.
Wow. Yeah.
Which leads what he said, spiritual death. So can't be spoken to, you're not going to change.
Well, that's when you find out truly who is a son.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You find out a son when there is a, is it a correction or a correct? W-R-E-C-K. Son, that when God brings correction in our life, that's when we find out if we're a son of God or not.
That's right.
Because we shake loose from God and say, no, I refuse. Like, okay, you're not a son. You're not a daughter of God because he's not your father. If you're not allowing him to bring correction into your life. So either it's correction, the way you spell correction normally, or if you're not a son or a daughter yet, it's correct. W-R-E-C-K, right?
Wow.
Shun.
That's good.
It's true. And that's this, and that's how you know. That's when somebody who loves you is very carefully about to try to bring correction.
Yeah.
Thinking at any moment it could be a wreck because it's about to be revealed in your life. Mm. Are you a son?
Mm.
Are you a daughter? Mm-hmm. Or are you somewhere else's son?
Yeah.
And someone else's daughter? Are you God's son? Are you a son of the Lord or you're not?
Right.
And that's how you find out.
That's good.
It's true. Consider hardship as discipline. God's treating you as a son.
Yeah. I just remember my early days of my walk. It was like a car wreck.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Whenever somebody brought correction in my life, because it was dysfunctional correction growing up. So I was always like, put my hands up. Hold on now.
Right.
You're getting a little too close.
Right.
But then, you know, God disciplines those he loves. So
if
you're willing to change, God has no problem pointing stuff out.
You think about it. You know, here's Timothy is just heard the gospel. He's so excited. His mother's a believer. His dad's Greek, I guess. And he hears about this man, you know, Paul, who's been preaching in the community and seeing the kingdom of God in the light of the gospel. And he just wants to go with him. He wants to be a part of what this is the beginning of the letters that you read in Timothy. It hasn't happened yet because first Timothy had to want to go. It's like, I want to go, but he didn't understand what it was going to be like to go. But he wanted to go, and he was willing to do whatever it took. And so Paul's like, okay, great, cool, wonderful. This is wonderful. Okay, this is what we're first going to do. We're first going to need to circumcise you. You know, and it's like, I mean, can you imagine an American today? Like, you know, I'm no, if it's plastic surgery, like you're talking about an eye lift, nose lift, or ear reduction, or whatever, some kind of whatever reduction.
Right.
You know, rhinoplasties. Anyway, but in regards to something that this is why he said that. He says, because you're going to be ministering to folks that are right now operate in the flesh. And what's in your life in the flesh, nothing's wrong with you, but what that part of you is going to cause them not to hear the God part of you.
Mm.
It had nothing to do with him. He was already saved because they were going to minister into the Jews, and the Jews were going to be, one of the things is, and I was like to know, you know, what you doing spying up my liberties? But the very fact is he was preparing him for the ministry, which is means you want to win them. Some people, this is how you know the motive of it is where folks want to be on a stage and they want to bring glory to themselves and it's about what they get out of it. And it's like, yeah, that's about all you're going to get. And you're going to stand at the altar the last day saying, Lord, Lord, did I not? And he's going to say, I never knew you. But the ones that understand the reason minister means servant. And so you're going to serve folks in hopes that you become all things to all people that you might win a few to God. And so you're going to deal with stuff in your life, not because you're becoming more saved. You're dealing with stuff in your life so you don't get in people's way.
Yeah. So you can be prepared to serve.
Yeah.
You just don't.
Yeah.
Not about putting on a napkin and running out there. No, no, no. Come on back.
Yeah.
Come on back.
And you need to get healed in your heart. And some of the biggest healings that need to take place is you got to deal with that rebellion that's been in your heart towards your father. Because the enemy's done all these different things against you and perception-wise and all this kind of stuff. And the truth is, you answer alone before God, no witnesses or no suspects. And you need to get those father wounds, father vacancies, father voids, father absence. You just fill in the blank. Everything the enemy could say and do and accuse has happened. Because if you get and you start ministering on behalf of the Father through his Son, and you don't even understand what it means to be a father, and you don't even understand what it means to a son, what gospel are you preaching? How long is it going to take you to be offended, and all of a sudden you take it personal because an old wound gets stirred up? And so correction is where that takes place, is when we're willing. And Paul says, we got 10,000 teachers, very few fathers, for I'm your father in Christ Jesus. He was willing to deal with the things that had to be dealt with. Why? So they could be saved.
That's right.
So they could be saved. What a reward.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Do you have a secret so shameful that you've never spoken of it? This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller, and here's Julie Barnhill offering a suggestion to help find healing.
The first thing you have to do is you have to own it. And I tell women this all the time. I believe there's something powerful about speaking what is your secret, speaking that is so shameful. And I will encourage women, especially when we have workshops, and I'll say, I want you at some point today, whether it's you go to a wall and you cup your mouth and you just whisper it just so you can hear it, that you say that awful, ugly thing.
Speaking a shameful secret out loud, even to yourself, may help reduce its power over you and can bring some much-needed relief. Now, if you need help with a painful issue, consider our counseling hotline at 1-800, the letter A, and the word family.
Radical? That was Jesus a radical? Wasn't he a radical?
He was pretty radical, yeah.
He was rocking every place he went. I mean, place was just getting turned upside down, including when he went into the temple, he started saying, that's not right, mm-hmm. kick over. That's not right, hit with a whip. I mean, we got to read the red letters again. Yeah. We got to get in touch with the red blood of Jesus Christ mm-hmm. that cleanses sin and the red letters in the Word of God. Listen, I don't want you, to be offended. Understand, and the truth offends only those who don't want to follow it, mm-hmm. And all we got to do if we weren't following it is just go, that's what I want. Mm-hmm. That's what I want. Forgive me. I'm sorry. I was wrong. Yeah, that's what I want. I want God. Mm-hmm. I want God. And so you don't want to be offended by it. You want to be, think about it. We're not making progress. We're actually declining. Everything's declining in the American church, and things are shifting to other nations. As a matter of fact, listen to Steve Hill right now. Steve Hill and Peter Wagner discuss the very same thing, and I'll be right back.
And I want to say to those pastors that are watching, if you're don't be offended by anything, okay? Because I'm an evangelist and a pastor, and I've traveled all over the world, okay? And I'll stand in front of a group of people and don't worry about offending somebody and standing up and saying that they need to be a little bit stronger with their message. They need to be a little bit more forceful when they communicate with other people about the gospel, because we're not making progress.
Think about it. We're not making progress in America. Is that not enough? I mean, if you're on a football team, and the point of the being on the football team is to score points, and we're not scoring points, maybe we need to rethink our playbook. Maybe we need to mm-hmm. rethink what we're doing. Let's go back to the original playbook. Let's go back to the original word. Let's just say, you know what, God? You are right. Here I am. Send me. Maybe VFN's for you. Vine Fellowship Network. You can get to it at vinefellowshipnetwork.org or just go to vfnfamily.org. That's vfnfamily.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I want to encourage you. I got some things I'm going to share with you today, and John does as well, and God is just so into you. He is so into you, and the enemy has done everything in the world to convince you that God's just trying to squeeze you in his busy schedule. Mm-hmm. Mm. And to realize, too, that he's giving you the air that you're breathing. He's that mysterious carbon bond that's holding your entire body together. He's that carbon bond that used to hold, Pat's right knee together.
Still does.
Before he thought he was a football player. Oh, yeah, still both those pieces of the carbon.
That's right.
No, dear Lord, I don't know who that was.
Bless him.
Bless him. Donated that.
He's got somebody else's knee in his body. I was there. I saw it. That screensaver over there. Anyway, so God's not squeezing you in. He loves you. He loves you. And he's trying to give the rest of his body perspective of you and you perspective of his body. He's trying to give you an understanding of how much he loves you. And it started with the garden when it was really over, but immediately he began to cover our mistakes, our failures, our sins. I mean, imagine. He's like, I can't look at you. Oh, my goodness. What have you done here? You know, the fall of man that ate from the forbidden tree. So he immediately began to cover men so that he could be with men. Mm-hmm. And he had some animals killed and put clothing on Adam and Eve, you know, mm-hmm. Mr. Adam and Mrs. Eve. And, but think about it. And it was immediately like, okay. You screwed up. This is not my plan. But you know what? I got a plan for us to stay in relationship. I want you to know, Adam. I want you to know, Eve. It's going to be rough because sin now has come into the world. You know, the keys that I gave you, just gave up. But I'll tell you what. I'm going to hang with you. I'm going to begin to show you ways that you can walk with me. I mean, think about it. That's how much God loves you. That's why the enemy works overtime. And then people kind of get their designer gods going down. They got a couple designer gods going on in America today where they're just designing new gods. And people are going, I like that Jesus. It's like, oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Well, that is another one. Yeah, okay. I don't think he saves or anything, but.
Right.
So God loves you. I mean, think about all the things that came against you to divide you from him, to blur your mind. The enemy has caused you to look at a simple, little, small, innocent little book called the Word of God, the Bible. And you look at it, and the enemy goes, if you pick that up, you're going to throw your back out. Mm. You know, if you read that, oh my goodness, it's going to be, oh, and it's like he just fights you on something so simple. Why? Because it's so awesomely a love letter from God saying, listen, I'm going to make a way that I can be in relationship with you. Mm. I just want to encourage you today because it's cranking up a notch right now. It is cranking up a notch. And if you weren't sure that he loved you when this thing started, you're going to really struggle. If you hang in there and listen to VFN Radio and watch VFN TV and join us on a daily basis, it won't be a struggle because we're going to keep the light before you so you're going to be able to see God, see yourself, and see his love towards you and what to do next. Or how to find out what to do next. And so it's cranked up a notch. I mean, all this stuff about self-hate and all this kind of stuff, it's like, I can't go there. But listen, that's just the enemy feeding into the narrative of Satan. You don't have time for self-hate. You don't have time for hate at all. God's love, if you get involved in hate at all, then you're getting involved in darkness. Just let go of that. Just trust God. That's what faith is. It's like, hey, you know, it's easier, you know, for people that, you know, like Pat, who's totally fit, but, you know, mm-hmm. when, like us, they're struggling trying to keep a figure.
Exactly.
I'd wear this today, and I figured I'd wear that. Got some camouflage stuff. You know, I wear T-shirts. Anyway, so in the context of that, you have something more thicker, you know, right? Anyway, so.
Just blouse more.
Blouse. Yeah, that's amazing. That is amazing. That's thank you, Renee. Technique. We figured out Pat's secret.
That's perfect camouflage.
He wears blouses. He was it right? They blouse us.
I don't wear blouses.
I bet you Drew Brees would have never known that his shirt would be bloused. You know what I'm saying? Are you blousing my jersey? Are you blousing my jersey?
You have your jersey tucked in.
Yeah. Back to the love of God.
Yeah.
Understand this, that everything is coming against the knowledge of God in your life. That this is what he's saying to you. Ma'am, daughter, one I created, one the air that I'm giving to breathe and design this very day and time that you would live. I mean, the very road that you're going on right now, that's me just talking to you at this very, very moment to let you know I love you and I got a plan for your life and I can redeem this situation. I begin to cover it in the garden, but I got better news than that. I got better news than that. I have better news than that. I gave my son so we can be in relationship. Listen, I know the sin issue. I know it, but I dealt with the sin issue with my son and the sacrifice of my son. I just want to encourage you today. Realize that's all because of love, not because of religion, not because of some sort of, you know, read two chapters a day and say 12 Hail Marys and all this other kind of stuff that religion comes up with. It's because he loves you. Even down to the very moment of understanding, even when we're weak, God begins to give perspective to his people to understand, to help us when we're even weak. And this is what he does. He to help people understand his heart towards you if you're weak today. His heart towards you if you're struggling, if you're an orphan, if you're out on your own, if you are hungry. He tells his people, he says, listen, you need to understand who I am. I am love and I care about my creation. That's what he says in Psalms 41, 1 through 3. He says, blessed is he who has regard for the weak. The Lord delivers him in times of trouble. The Lord protects him and preserves his life. He will bless him in the land and not surrender him to the desire of his enemies. The Lord will sustain him on his sickbed and restore him from his bed of illness. This is what God is speaking to others about you. He's saying, listen, if you'll just regard them, if you'll begin to pay attention to them, the ones that are weak and the ones that they would, if they had the strength, they would eat, but they may be an orphan, they may have gone through a life's journey or whatever it is. He said, listen, this is what I'm going to tell you to help you out your perspective. If you do, if you demonstrate my love towards them, if you don't just pass the man who's looking for a job on the side of the street when you got $5 in your pockets on the way to Starbucks to buy you a coffee, which is really a milkshake, and you convince yourself it's coffee, and you take that cappuccino money and you just pull over and say, you know what? God loves you. I don't want to be a part of everybody that's going to give into your life today and begin to help them. Help someone. And so God's telling them about the orphan. Imagine the orphan. The orphan can't speak. He just can't speak. He can't. She can't speak. They can't say, I mean, they're babies and they haven't been, you know, they have an orphanage and maybe, you know, there are, you know, Hand of Help in Romania and there's other ministries that are helping the orphan, but there's a million orphans in Zimbabwe. A million orphans. A million orphans. Because of the death of what the enemy has done to their parents, where they've died through AIDS, sexual transmitted diseases that passed through everybody, their parents, and killed, they said. So this is what God is telling them about you. If you're that person, if that weak person, he said, listen, if you will do this, if you'll take regard for the weak, I'll bless you. I'll deliver you from trouble. I'll protect you. I'll preserve your life. I'll bless you in the land. I won't surrender you to the desires of your enemies. I'll sustain you in your sickbed, and I'll restore you from your illness. Look what he's doing. He's telling them, if they love you, if they use his heart towards you, then he'll do this for them. The reason why is because he wants you to know he loves you, and he will love you through them. He says, be the light of the world. Let your light shine so people will see your good deeds and give honor and glory to who? Not to you, to God. You see, when you are that orphan and you're that weak person, that person that's struggling, going through a time of need, and you need to build your strength up, you need to be discipled, you need the truth, you need to hear what you're hearing today on VFN Radio, understand that's God speaking to you saying, I love you and I got a plan for your life. And I'm even telling people, I'll take care of them if they take care of mine. And all we got to do is have regard for the weak. Just regard for the weak. America, listen, don't default to your government to take care of folks. You start doing what you can with what you have. I mean, weak is defined as not strong, liable to yield. You know, they're so weak that they tried to hang in there, but they yielded to that thing. They're liable to break, liable to strain. They're fragile, they're frail, lacking in bodily strength or healthy vigor from age or sickness or feeble or youth or a child. Lacking in their ability, their strength, their knowledge, their intelligence. They just didn't know. If somebody would have taught them, they would have known. How would they know unless someone goes or tells them? You know what I'm saying? So that being there, sharing with you now, is a part of God saying, listen, this is the strategy to help the weak. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Oh, my goodness. Aunties. Listen, if you're looking for some barbecue, you got to go get some ribs, some pulled pork, and so much more in Cantonment. You don't want to miss it. Highway 29th and go north and let your nose lead you the way. The $50 Eye Guy, where they have everything from wrecks to specs. You want to visit them today. They're right across from Home Depot in Pensacola. Visit a $50 Eye Guy today so you can see. Visit Copy Products today with 5 locations on the Gulf Coast to better serve you. They can help you with all of your copying and scanning needs. Copy machines, fax machines, scanners, printers, shredders, and so much more. Contact them today at 850-432-1580. Amazing Automotive, serving all of your automotive needs for over 30 years. Where their motto is, if it flies, floats, or rolls, we can work on it. On the corner of Hollywood and Marietta Boulevard. Come, bring your vehicle in today. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
That's right. We have another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's called the Torch Newsletter. Every week, the Torch Newsletter goes out. And in the newsletter, you're going to get the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. You're also going to get all the VFN Radio highlights emailed directly into your inbox. So whether you want to listen on your phone, whether you get your emails on your tablet, or whether you get it on your home PC, you will have access to that week's VFN Radio highlights. Go to VFNTV.com and select newsletter sign up, or text VFNTV at 22828. Again, text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch Newsletter now.
Jesus himself said this. He said, the verdict is in. Bam. I mean, you know, you remember the jury comes in and the judge ordering the court. They open the little piece of paper where your whole life could just like, what? And it opens it up and the verdict is in. And Jesus says, some people just love the prince of darkness. They just love darkness. They love the deeds you could do in darkness. There's some folks that just love Lucifer's stuff. You just dust your feet and you move on. This is the relationship. You can't, if you try to force somebody to have a relationship with God, you don't even have a concept of him. And secondly, you might not even know him. Besides, forced relationship by our own laws is called rape. You have to want to be with God. It's a choice, which is so cool because God wants to be with you.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off. And he even says in Romans 14:1, he says, accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment. Let me finish that. On disputable matters. You know, we've taken this and twisted it where that's not disputable. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's the only way to God. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. The cross of Christ is the power of the gospel. It's what Jesus did on the cross of Christ. And understand that he asks us to do something we can't do without abiding with him, without hanging with him, but he'll empower us when we do it. So that's undisputed. I mean, you can't do this outside of God. And salvation is only through Jesus, and forgiveness is only through his blood. But come on now. You're preaching your preferences on people that are weak. And then you're holding people to your preferences. And they're trying to meet your preferences while trying to love God at the same time. And they think, Mr. Pharisee, they actually think because you came and told them part of what you said was the truth, they think the other part is of God. And this is what Jesus said. Jesus said, you go all the way across the sea. He's talking to the people who were the leaders at that day of God's people when Jesus was walking the face of the earth. And he said, you go all the way across the sea. Think about that. You go to those foreign lands. You go to the mission field. You go all the way across the sea to win a convert. And then you bring them back here and you make them twice as much. I mean, think about it. This is God. Oh, Lord. Makes them twice as much a son of hell. Get this part. As you are. In other words, hellions were going telling people about Jesus, about God. They were bringing them back and telling them about Judaism and walking with God and doing what's right before the creator of the universe. But they were held captive by the devil while they were doing, they said, God's work. And when they brought that person back who didn't know God and told them about God, they ended up being a double portion of who won them to the Lord. Or supposedly won them to the Lord. But he says, who won them to Satan. Right? I mean, I'm just, you know, hey, you know, just telling you. Listen, the only reason it seems hard to you, two reasons. One is you say you're a believer and you're not. And that's a real difficult thing when you're actually saying you're driving a car, but you're actually walking. I mean, it's just, you know, hang it up. You got to know Jesus. And the other is you've been making this thing a religion and not a relationship. God loves you. He's pushing everything your way to say, listen, I love you. And I'll empower you. I'll give you the grace to walk out your love for me. And together, we'll grow together in this relationship. And you think about it. So then what is it weak then? If it's not weak in the gut, those disputable, and there's some things that are just not disputable. And right now, what's happening in the world is like, Jesus is not disputable. He's not a prophet. He's the Son of God. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if you deny Jesus, then you deny his blood. And if you deny his blood, without the shedding of blood, there is what? No forgiveness of sins. And if you have no forgiveness of sins, you're just in a religious exercise that's going to end up in the same hell that we started out in before God saved us. You know what I'm saying? So don't waste your energy on that. Relationships are only hard for people who don't want to be in them. Relationships are only hard for those people who kick against the relationship. But when you walk in relationship with God, he's got grace for you. He's got mercy for you and are many, many times of need. So who is the weak? Well, those that are weak in their faith, teach them, restore them, guide them, forgive them, help them in their way. If they don't listen and you try every way you can, I mean, that's the point. You can at that. But if you first, at least give them a chance before you, if they're an orphan or a widow, what do you need? If you're talking to a 6-month-old child, you don't say, what do you need? You go, let me go do something for this child. Let me go find an orphan. I just love what, you know, Michael Padilla is doing in Romania with Hand of Help, because I was like, ooh. And I was listening to, I just can't wait to begin this conversation. Today we're going to talk about Don't Swing. But Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., when he was standing up as an apostle in this nation, the nation of America under the Constitution and under the Word of God, you know, he went deep into this. And the reason why the Lord just spoke to me this morning and last night, the reason why he went deep into this, because he knew this is the heart of God. Why did he add in, we got to take care of the poor? Why did he add in, stop the war? And it's like, because he knew any moment, he knew the price that he was laying out. He was every single day. I meant the FBI was trying to take him down. The Washington, D.C. was trying to take him down. Every sheriff that he passed through was either on his side or against his side and had desire to put him in jail. I mean, if he walked into Alabama from the governor on down at that time, you didn't know who was with. There was a lot, and he said there's a lot of good people in Alabama, but the ones that was the governor and a particular named sheriff, you know, they'd take me down. So he knew. He said, I'm going to see God at any moment, and I want to have the heart of God. That's what he said. Because he was talking about the drumbeat. He's got this message that he's taught about, the drumbeat. And he's talking about men just march to this drumbeat. And the drumbeat he's talking about is when, you know, James and John begin to dispute over who's going to be the greatest and set their mother to be on the side. And he's going like, and he talked about the human frailty, like everybody wants to be praised, you know, and you might not believe it until you are. And then when you're praised, then you got to deal with that. And that's what a man is really tested, when he's praised. But then he started talking about, you know, kind of downshifting from that. And he finally just said, but I want it. I want to be one that sits by his side. I want to be one that sits beside him. And because he said, you can't drink this cup. That's what Jesus told him. And then they said, oh, yeah, we can. And then Jesus said, okay, then you will. And that's what he said. He says, well, you know, he basically was saying in his speech that, you know, I'll drink this cup. I want to be there for the poor. I want to have the heart of God towards human beings. And we can't keep on going over there. And he's talking about, you know, Vietnam at that time, how unjust it was that we were drafted people to send them to a place, to a war we were not even going to win. And it was a lot like what's happening today. And it's like, human beings are not expendable. The people who are creating the image and the likeness of God are not expendable. War should be the last resort. And there are seasons for different things, but when we're in sin to God, when we're in rebellion to God, and we have idols all over the land, the last thing the church needs to be doing is saying, let's go to war. Because mm-hmm. that's a sword being fashioned against
that's
us.
That's right.
Or to send our sons to fight our war because it came against us because of our sin. Think about it. That because of the age that goes to war, you have a whole generation that refused to repent. And then instead of drafting the ones who sent and brought that on nation, they send the young people to die in their place. And it's like, for that alone should convict you. It's like, do you really? And now it's going to be daughters and sons because, you know. I want to talk more about this in a moment because I want to let you know that God loves you. And in Dr. King, I want to continue that conversation because he knew, when he said, listen, I've been to the mountaintop. I've seen what I'm talking about. I might not get there with you. But he understood, the comparison, the analogy is with Moses. I've seen God, God's good, and this is all going to work out. But in the context of that, he knew, I'm going to see God potentially very, very soon. I don't know, all these folks are threatening me. And for standing up for human beings, oh my goodness. And this narrative is being stolen by other people that have not walked what the African-American people walked in this nation, and it's a travesty to watch their narrative, what they paid, the suffering and the price that the African-American man and woman historically paid in this nation for anybody to take that narrative and use it. It's like, oh my goodness, that's like a holy suffering that only a person who's walked those shoes can say that, or can operate and speak of the context of that. Don't put it on your political cause. Don't put it on your sin. My goodness, do you understand? And it's just like, God loves you. And he's telling the other, your brothers and sisters who profess to be believers and profess to be Jews who love God, that says, I want you to go demonstrate my heart towards them. I want you to be kind to them, meet their needs, even when they're weak. I want you to be, I already told them that I'm going to take care of them when they do this because I want you to give glory. I want you to understand that, which means credit to the creator of the universe, that he's doing this through them. For example, if you want to know the heart of God towards the Syrian people, you know, you need to go to the VFN Torch and listen to VFN TV go to VFNTV.com and watch how the Jewish people are taking care of the Syrian people who are hurt by these chemical weapons. That's God working through them to the Syrian folks, letting them know, this is how I feel about you, honey. Just look at me. I'm here to help you. Everything's going to be all right. That's the God that we serve. And you can see that is God. Whether people respond to God or not, that's how he feels towards us. And that's how he feels towards you. I just want to tell you that God loves you. And I was talking about Dr. King right before the break. I mean, you need to study this man. You need to listen to his voice. Don't let other people tell you what he said. There's so many opportunities now. You can just listen. And you can read his speeches and read what he said. But just watch him and say, dear God, speak to me because I want to be a godly man of integrity like Dr. King. I want to be a man that will stand in the midst of so many. And there was what he understood, what we have to understand. There's more people for God that are asleep right now in this nation and for what's right that are just inactive. That's why he would say the greatest tragedy, I'm paraphrasing, but the greatest tragedy is when the greatest evil is when there is an injustice and good people remain silent. And right now there's a deathly silent. It's just like, what did y'all? I think you can hear a pin drop with 15 shots being fired at someone. And I'm like, and nobody's saying that. It's like, did you just hear a pin drop? I just heard a pin drop. That's not good. That's a vacuum, by the way. And so what I was saying is that, so the weak, what is the weak? Weak in the faith, you can teach them in regards to an orphan. Don't don't be talking about, you know, all this stuff that surrounds that orphan and where they come from and who their folks were and how they ended up being an orphan. Just minister the love of God to the orphan. Just minister the love of God to the orphan. Love on them to whatever extent they will allow you to love on them. And the enemy is trying everything in the world to keep the human touch from touching human being children. And I'm telling you why. Let me tell you why. They learned about this in the infant dwarfism study when they found out that they took these children, I believe it was maybe 10 children, and they took them. And this is why God wants you to be touched. He wants you to be loved, because if you don't understand his love, the enemy's going to twist things in regards to that. But they took 10 children. Five of them, in the orphanage, that the nurses went and touched them and fed them and changed them and played with them and all that kind of stuff you do with a child, by the way. And then the other five, they just went into the room, they fed them, and they changed them, and they left them, and they did not pay emotional attention to them. They just kind of met their basic needs, whatever they need, and they left them. What they found out is, this is the word infant dwarfism came out, because as the children grew up, the ones who were loved on and fed and their basic needs met and had connection, that they actually grew up healthy, the right physical size and everything kind of matured in their bodies. But the ones who just got their basic needs met, and that's today's church. Today's church, like, yeah, I fed you. You know, yeah, I changed you. And it's like, yeah, but I don't even know your name. You don't even know me. We have not talked and sat together and had a relationship. And then the ones that just got their basic needs met had infant dwarfism. In other words, they didn't go to full height. Their body didn't go to full size. It affected their physical maturity. They could not, and think about it, that's just the physical aspect of it. So imagine the mental ramifications of not knowing how to interact with people. And today the enemy has done so much. People see children not only in that light, that's minor compared to killing your child in the womb. That's minor compared to just offing your child to a relative or because you don't want to raise them up. Think about it. Think about this. What do you think is going to be the outcome? The enemy's trying to stop this, what I'm telling you. The love of God in their lives. God wants to get to them. He wants to meet their needs. I mean, like Sister Teresa, I mean, think about her. And go in the streets going, I just see the face of God in the suffering. You know, and today, it's church, like, I don't see anything for me in the face of the suffering. I don't see anything for me with weak. What can they give me? We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Well, you think about, you know, abiding. I mean, it's just, talk to us, Steve. Talk to us about, you know, somebody out there, they're thinking about, oh, it's just so hard. And, you know, what do I do? I mean, what would you say to them?
It's just really simple. It's not hard. You're just being with Jesus. You're talking with him. You're reading his word. And you're just listening.
Right.
You're talking to him. He's talking to you. And it really is that simple.
How rapidly did your growth in God happen once you started abiding with him?
It was amazing.
Isn't it?
God just started pouring out himself, because he just says, you seek me, and I'm going to seek you.
He says, you draw near to me, mm-hmm. I will draw near to you. You can find out more about that at iabide.org. You know, everybody really wants to abide. They want to hang out with God like John 15, Jesus tells us. But they just need a little simple plan to do that. You can find out at iabide.org. Just request your plan today. Did you actually turn it like cool in here, or did you just kind of like heat? Okay, I'm on fire today. I don't know what it is. I'm like hot.
It was the turkey.
See? Extra spice, cayenne.
Extra K-on. Cajun spice.
K-on. What's K-on?
Cayenne pepper.
I've been poisoned. I've been a drone in my turkey. The K-on. That's a keeper.
That's a good one.
That's a keeper.
That's a K-on recipe.
K-on.
Cajun. It was a combination.
I just mixed it together.
Okay. Cayenne and Cajun. That's
okay. My own ingredient.
Cajun.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off. And let me tell you something. I'm telling you right now, God loves you, and he's trying to get people to you. And maybe he did, and you didn't pay attention. Maybe the enemy's convinced you that God doesn't love you, and so you don't hear anything. When anything positive said about you, it just goes right over your head. When something negative said about you, you jump on somebody, and you can't handle critique. You can't handle correction. But if anything's positive said about you, you don't even hear it. That's a stronghold. That is a stronghold of the enemy trying to prevent the love of God in your life. And who are the weak? The weak is the orphan, the widow, the elderly man and the elderly woman right there. I'm not, you know, the thing, you can't take on the whole world. God's not expecting you to take on the whole world. But listen, you can help those around you. You can partner with those who are on the front lines that are actually being there with the orphan in Mozambique and Romania. You can be there with the men and women who are preaching the love of God and discipling people so they can be strong and no longer weak. You can move out of the 3 percentile who actually are not robbing from God. I move into the 3 percentile of the ones who are not robbing from God from the 97% who don't even honor God with the tithes and the offerings to say, you know what? I'm going to give God not only, I'm not going to give you your tithes, but I'm also going to give offerings for the poor and the weak and the needy. I'm going to bring it right here, God. And God goes, woohoo. You're showing my love to them. And what happens when that happens? This is what happens. Watch. They go, God is good. Now, if you did it for your own glory, you've messed it up. But listen, they're wanting you not to praise the man or the woman that brought you those clothes or helped you out with your rent or helped you through that situation or nursed you or helped whatever. Look up and realize that good that you just experienced came from God. And give God all the glory. And regard means this, and it's very important because we have to have regard for the poor. And understand this, and the weak. Understand this, if we keep pushing it off to government and to others, guess who's going to get the glory? Guess who's going to get all the credit? Why is everybody in America turning, not everybody, but everybody that they put on television, is turning towards government and all because we have missed our call. We've missed the heart of God. And what's happening? The opposite is what's taking place. We're seeing all the things he said he'll do for us when we take care of the weak. Now we turn that over to government. It's like everything, the opposite. He's not protecting us in the land anymore. He's not, it's like, we got to turn this back around again. So in regards to regard, think about this. Regard is defined as to look upon or think of with particular feelings. In other words, you're actually paying attention to people who have a need. You're paying attention to people who have a need. You're not just ignoring them. You're not so busy with your own life that you don't have time to be able to pay attention. Keep an eye. Who's in need in my immediate surroundings? Who's in need in my fellowship? Who's in need in my community? Who's in need in my nation? And regard is to have or show respect or concern for. Listen. Just because she doesn't have any money does not mean that she is not highly regarded by God. The amount of money someone has nothing to do whatsoever with how God thinks about them, American church. Honor them. Begin to find out what they need. Have a concern for them. Regard means to think highly of and esteem. To have thought, attention, or concern for. And so we're seeing, this is how much God loves you. He's given everybody a perspective that, listen, when you see somebody that's weak right now, that's having a little struggle going on right now, or can't answer for themselves, or don't have a voice, when I'm still in my mother's womb, you know what I'm saying? When I can't speak yet, and my father and my mother has abandoned me and left me here, might as well have left me on a basket on the front porch somewhere. When I'm up under ruthless rulers and dictators, when I'm caught up under religious Pharisaical, twice as much a son as hell as they are, a religion. Rescue me. Rescue me. And if we don't, listen, if we don't do this, by the way, American church, we won't be blessed. He won't deliver us from our troubles. He won't protect us, or he won't preserve our life. We won't be blessed in the land. He will surrender us to our enemy's desires, and he won't sustain us on our sick bed, and we won't be brought up from our sick bed. So, this is how much God loves you. This is how much he loves you. Psalms 41, 1 through 3. 41, 1 through 3. This is what he says. He's telling people to go love on you in his name so you can be strong and strengthened and you can go love on someone else in his name. Blessed is he who has regard for the weak. The Lord delivers him in times of trouble. The Lord protects him and preserves his life. He will bless him in the land and not surrender him to the desires of his foes. The Lord will sustain him on his sickbed and restore him from his bed of illness. That's how much God loves you. He's telling folks, listen, when someone needs help, help them in my name. So when they get strong, they'll go out and help someone in my name. And what happens? All the glory goes to God. That's why when you read the revelation of Christ in the book of Revelation, and Jesus stands up and takes the scroll, the title deed to earth from the creator of the universe's Father, and everybody begins to bow down and cry out and says, worthy, worthy is the Lamb to receive what? All of the glory and the honor and the praise, because God was loving on that little Syrian girl through the Jewish people that we talked about this week. And when you got those clothes from that man or that woman, when you got that food, when somebody came and loved on you, when somebody discipled you and said, you need to sit down at this coffee shop, I need to get you some foundation in God so you're no longer tossed back and forth by every wind of doctrine. When you were an orphan, the fact that you are even a teenager now, somebody fed you, somebody clothed you, somebody put something in your body to make your body grow, because if not, you wouldn't be here. You would have died as a child. That's God. God providing for you. We got to get our perspective and say, you know what? I want to be blessed. I want to be protected. I don't want to be handed over to the desires of our enemies. You know what the desires of our enemy is? To destroy us. Mm-hmm. Read JJ. Understand that. Understand that God loves you and God's got a plan for your life. And don't let the enemy tell you today or tomorrow that he doesn't love you. He's pushing the world your way, meeting your needs, giving you the air that you breathe in hopes, this is what he says in Acts 17, so that you would realize that he's doing this and that you would reach out, acknowledge him, to touch him, have a relationship with him, because he is not far from you.
Mark Downey & Associates is a unique real estate firm that specializes in property management and high-end home sales. The secret to the success of his multi-award-winning firm is simple: aggressive marketing and intense passion for serving others. If you're looking for a team of professionals that ensures the total satisfaction of their clients, contact Mark Downey's team today. On the Gulf Coast, contact Steve Barnhill's Paint and Body Shop with over 25 years of experience. No job is too big and no job is too small. Get in contact with them today. Just Fish and Grits. If you're in the mood for some good southern cooking, visit Just Fish and Grits today to dine in or to take out. You can have your meal on the go. It is good. The Army Navy Store. Come visit us today in one of our two locations to better serve your needs, in Crestview and Fort Walton Beach, where we have tactical gear, guns, ammo, multicam, and so much more. Come see us today. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.